And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And welcome, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my intrepid, still traveling brother, Jeffrey.
Ah, very nice, Fred. Very nice. Tian and I just got back from our last trip. It was outstanding. We had so much fun. I cannot tell you how much fun we had. So we're glad to be in the old Pueblo, and the weather is absolutely beautiful.
It is beautiful, and it's beautiful weather for baseball, and we're going to be talking baseball a little
bit. Lots of baseball.
Yeah, but first of all, I want to just make a public statement of how much we appreciate John C. Scott and his son Mark Ulm over at the radio station.
Yeah, we do. They help us out a ton.
And Christopher and all the people over there who make this show just pop for us. We're at the Tinderbox, which is at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, and we're inviting all of our listeners to come on down and hang out with us. But, if it wasn't for these people, we wouldn't have a show.
That's right.
And if it weren't for some other people, we wouldn't have a show either.
Right, and that includes all of our advertisers. And you can go to our website at fredandjeff.com, check out our advertisers, click their logo, and it'll take you to their page so you can learn all about them.
And this segment is being sponsored by Monkey Burger.
That's right. Our friends next door to the Tinderbox.
Yeah, they brought us water over. We had lunch over there today.
It was very nice.
H&S Estate Garden.
So for all the wind and everything blowing around all those leaves, you need someone to come out and clean them up because you don't want to, give our friends over there a call.
At H&S, and we'll be talking about other sponsors. They're sponsoring other portions of the show, but we want to thank Monkey Burger and H&S.
Right.
And we have some nonprofit.
Well, we have one little nonprofit information today because it's very timely because there's an event on Saturday, and it is Arts for All. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard about Arts for All. They're the organization that provides accessible education, training, and experience in the arts to at-risk kids here in Tucson and special needs kids here in Tucson.
Spectacular program, and if you have a chance to go down there, they have shows. They have showcases once in a while.
Right. They have a summer program. They have a winter program.
And those kids are so talented, and it's a great outlet for them.
Absolutely. And they are having their big fundraiser this weekend, May 21st, at Skyline Country Club. So if you are looking for something fun to do this weekend, Skyline Country Club on Saturday is the place to be. Give Marcia a call at 622-4100, and you'll be having a great time. Their event is called Sweet Charity. And charity is spelled C-H-A-I-R-I-T-Y, charity, because they're going to be auctioning off all kinds of chairs that have their one-of-a-kind pieces of art. So you can go to their website at artsforallinc.org and check it out.
Cool.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we are going to talk to our first guest, Mr. Davis Burke. So stick around.
Lately, I find myself out gazing at stars, hearing guitars.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Visit The Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Now have you seen Miss Molly? Her cheeks are rosy red. Her lips are soft as satin and they taste like gingerbread. Whoa, 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 me, oh my Miss Molly.
Hey, this is The Fred and Jeff Show. And this is Fred Ronson. I'm here with my brother Jeff.
Wow, that was a very subdued intro
My microphone's like right in my mouth, and I don't want to blow out any speakers or anything.
Hey, this is the Fred Jeff Show.
But you know, last night we were over at Chicago Bar. We were listening to the Ronstadts, which is our cousin Michael and Petey, and they have a five or six piece band that they got going, and we were singing Volver and all sorts of stuff, and I was singing really loud last night.
Really?
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm glad I didn't make it. So we are here today at the Tinderbox
we're at Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124.
Right.
And inviting all of our listeners to come down and hang out with us.
You know, speaking of you singing Volver with Mike and Pete last night, you were telling me earlier that you're working on a stand-up routine for some night.
Well, remember in the past weeks we talked about how Laughs was having the last comic standing in the desert thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so a bunch of us were judging.
Right.
And after a while they're like, well, why don't you get up there and do it? Why don't you get up there and do
it? And so you're going to do it.
So I'm writing some stuff right now.
All right. We'll have to let our listeners know when you're going to be.
Now there is a comedy.
Exactly.
There is a comedy brother team. They're actually twins.
Yeah.
They go up together and they have a little thing together. Maybe we should talk about doing
that. Yeah, Fred. Anyone that's seen us knows that we're not twins.
No, I'm just saying, like a brother act.
We could do it. Aren't we doing that right now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but we don't have a live audience. Well, we don't have like an in-person audience. We don't have a studio audience.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd like to welcome our first guest today. His name is Davis Burke.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Burke, how you doing?
Doing fine. Doing
good, good.
Fine.
And, a lot of folks are sitting out there wondering, well, who the heck is this Davis Burke guy, and why would you have him on a show?
Absolutely.
About baseball in Tucson?
I concur.
Well, you've got a little intimate knowledge about baseball in Tucson, don't you?
Just a little bit, mostly with the Toros.
Right. So where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yes, sir.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, folks like to know a little bit about you. You know, who is this Davis Burke?
Philadelphia.
Character? You're from Philadelphia?
Yeah.
When did you come
today?
Today you're from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia.
That's because they're doing well in the NL Central or something?
Yeah.
And so when did you come to Tucson?
65.
1965.
Uh-huh.
And was there baseball in Tucson in 1965?
You know, I really don't know. It took me about three or four years to get acclimated.
To what brought you to Tucson?
Business.
Business.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so how did you get hooked up with baseball in southern Arizona?
Through Bill Estes.
Mr. Estes?
Yeah, Bill's a great guy, as you well know.
Right.
Absolutely.
And, we became friends, and at that time his dad owned the Toros.
Right.
And it was just really more than he needed to have, more work than he needed to do at his point in life. And so he said, Bill, why don't you bring in some other guys? So we put together a group of eight or nine guys. And Bill had a larger interest than the others of us. And we took off and started running it on the basis of a hometown entity.
Yeah, wasn't it the old Tucson is an Estes hometown?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
we remember
right.
that from a long,
oh, yeah,
long time
is,
ago.
That...
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, our listeners don't know, the Estes Company were big, big home builders back
Real
in the
big.
Day, Tucson. At one point, they were building most of the homes in Tucson.
Yeah, they were about the, I think they were the second largest builder in the state of Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Estes had a baseball team called the Tucson Toros.
Yes, he did.
And you went to work for him.
No, I never worked for him.
No, what did you do? you were part of the ownership.
I just got in the way. I really didn't, we didn't, have anybody. As a matter of fact, the only guy we had working for us just went out the door over there. he doesn't want to be labeled.
Yeah. So what was it like baseball back in the 60s in Tucson?
Well, it was terrific. What the hell was the name of that team that played in the Southwest League? It was a Class C.
Baseball League?
Baseball League, yeah.
So was the Southwest League before the Pacific Coast League?
Not before the Pacific Coast League, no, but it was before the Toros.
Okay. It wasn't the Cowboys or...
Cowboys were in the name somewhere.
Okay, the Tucson Cowboys, I think there was a baseball team.
Yeah.
And so...
And they were a professional team.
Okay. And then along came the Toros.
Yeah, I don't know what the transition was from the Cowboys to the Toros, how that took place, but... When we became involved, it was the Toros, and we paid $100,000 for the franchise.
Wow! didn't Drayton McLean just sell the Houston Astros today, or he's selling the Astros for like $660 million?
Yeah, right.
And you guys were able to buy a professional baseball team, minor league though. For $100,000 back then.
$100,000.
That's great.
When we sold it for $600,000, we thought we made the biggest deal in the world, boy.
When did you guys sell the Toros? Do you remember?
About 5 years after we bought them. What was it? 83? Was it that late? I didn't realize it.
Yeah,
1983.
Jack
says 83.
1983.
He's got all the dates filed away in his ironclad memory.
So what were some of the fun memories of the Tucson Toros back then?
Well, it's funny seeing Fred.
Right.
Fred here, because one of my fondest memories was about a year before we sold, we needed some work done, modest work at the stadium. And so Bill Estes and I said, well, why don't we go down and see Ronstadt, who was at that time, not the same one, but
Parks and Recreation Director.
Yes, or Dad.
Yeah, Parks and Rec Director. And so we went down with high hopes and went in to see Fred, just the two of us, in his office. And we no more than got seated, and he said, I got to tell you guys that the city is not going to do one effing thing for you guys.
Ugh.
And we didn't know. He was mad about something. We didn't know what it was. And the only thing you can do is get out of town as fast as possible, and that happened.
Well, I got to tell you something. My dad had a high level of frustration as a bureaucrat with the city government, and he tried to get stuff done, and there would be roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, and I can see him, he always did his homework before he met with people, and I could see that he probably talked to the city manager, some folks trying to get some resources, and they told him to take a hike, and so he was probably really upset about that. I could see that.
Yeah, it was sort of funny. I've always remembered that.
And Tucson's got a lot of history. I mean, there's a lot of baseball history in Tucson from, High Corbett, building High Corbett, the baseball field down there.
And Corbett's a nice stadium.
It is
really a nice stadium.
Fred and I grew up at High Corbett. Yeah, we did. We used to.
One of the things, our dad, who is the parks director, at that time he was assistant parks director.
Right.
So he used to actually run concessions and all the stuff that was not, the city stuff, because the baseball, they had their own office and staff and such. But he actually used to open up the High Corbett and then lock it down at night. And we were there the whole time. And
yeah.
We'd
be counting our quarters and nickels and dimes
selling peanuts.
One of the minor leaguers that played for the Toros back in the day was a guy named Manny Trio. And we talked to Jack more about the players that came and went through the Toros organizations later. But I remember sitting in right field where the Toros dugout was on the third base side. And I'd sit in right field, and Manny Trio would give him bags of peanuts, and he would explain to me how the game of baseball worked. It was it was great. I mean, that was a great thing about being a kid growing up in Tucson, is you had access to these players, and who knew that Manny Trio was going to turn into be this wonderful ball player? He got traded to the Reds, I think, was an all-star. I mean, the guy was a phenomenal ball player, and here I was, this redheaded kid out in right field eating peanuts with him watching the game.
That's great.
That's one of the cool things about AAA baseball is that you get, you have almost on-field access to, the future stars of the game. And not only that, but when, the current stars are rehabbing from injuries or what have you.
There they are.
There they are.
Yeah, there they are.
I mean, a couple of years back, the big machine from Diamondbacks was
Randy Johnson
was pitching down here when he was going through rehab.
That's right. Yeah, Randy Johnson. You know, here's a funny story. You know, my son Larry was born the day that Randy Johnson threw his perfect game. So we were at St. Joe's Hospital while the big unit was throwing
big
his
unit.
Perfect game. And, you know, what's interesting about that is when I was born at St. Joe's Hospital, Jim Dunning for the Philadelphia Phillies threw his perfect game. So we might be the only father and son in the history of the world that were both born on the day a perfect game was thrown.
That's great.
Yeah. So did that make me a great baseball player? No. Will it make my son a great baseball player one day? Hopefully.
Gave you a chance.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, being able to throw a ball gives you a chance to be a ball player. So what great memories do you have of the Toros back in the day?
Well, we won a championship once.
Yeah, yeah?
Once.
One time. That's better than the Cubs.
I won't tell you how many times we came in last, but we won a championship once. That was a fun year.
Yeah, that's great.
And those things happen and they're over before you get a chance to appreciate them, really.
Right.
And all those kinds of things in life, seems. But that was a lot of fun. I also remember Ray McNally. Did you ever hear that name?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ray used to broadcast the Toros games.
Really?
On the radio. And he was a hot ticket. And he used to travel with a team, of course, and every once in a while I got to go along with him. And we used to just have a bunch of fun, a whole bunch of fun.
Any fun you want to share with us on the radio?
No, I can't do that.
Well, the statute of limitations has passed on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's it. The statute has dulled my memory,
oh.
too. You know?
That's too funny. So we've gone from Tucson Cowboys to Tucson Toros to Tucson Sidewinders, and now we've got the Tucson Padres. So baseball's had a long and illustrious career in Tucson.
Oh, absolutely.
And you probably remember some great days back with the Toros, selling out Hike Corbett, fun events. Max, what was that the baseball clown guy's name? Remember the guy and the chicken coming to town?
San Diego Chicken
when he was a San Diego Chicken.
Oh, that's right. Then they changed it to the chicken.
And it just became the chicken, the chicken. The famous chicken. Yeah. So.
I can't.
You can't hear us?
No.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break right now. And hopefully Mark is listening.
Yeah, he is.
And we'll be right back with our next guest. And stick around because we got more baseball talk in Tucson.
Sit back, take off your coat, baby girl, get it on tonight. Well, I don't want to explain, I just want to unwind.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff Ronstadt.
Yeah, we're talking baseball.
We're over the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. And, you know, it's time. It's the boys of summer are here, and we're enjoying some great baseball here in Tucson.
Yeah, we are. And we want to thank Mr. Burke for coming out and saying hello to us. We appreciate that. And it was Max
Patkin.
Patkin.
Clown Prince of Baseball.
That's right. That's right. Now we got Jack Donovan on. And, Jack, you've got, if I remember correctly, when Mr. Burke came in today and we introduced each other, he said that he hired you.
That's correct.
To work for the Toros.
He called, if I remember how the story went, they wanted to get an operation that was similar to El Paso, which had a lot of activity, a lot of noise. So they called Jim Paul up, who owned the team, and he said, anybody over there we can hire? He says, I've only had one assistant. And he said, that was Jack Donovan. So he says, great. Yeah, any chance we can talk to him? He says, no, you'll never get him. He's in the big leagues working for the Angels. I was the assistant farm director and assistant scouting director. And he says, well, give me a number. Maybe I'll just call him. So he calls me up, and what he didn't know was that Harry Dalton was just about to leave. Buzzy Bavese was coming in. It was a mess. And so I said, Davis, well, I'm pretty happy here. He says, well, why don't you come over and take a look? And so they flew me over. And the other thing, my dad, I was raised on stories of Tucson.
Really? Why is that?
My dad ran a cattle ranch before I was born. A New York guy with one arm ran a cattle ranch in the Chiricahua Mountains, the Z-Bar T Ranch. So I grew up stories of Tucson and the saddle maker down on Stone. And so I got when I got here, I just fell in love with the town. And the first thing I did is I went over to the Santa Rita Hotel where my dad used to sing when he came into town to get goods. And I called him up and said, I'm at the Santa Rita Hotel, Dad. And he's, oh, is the bar over here? So it was great. It was terrific. So.
That's great. So for folks out there that don't know your history, you're a Tucson guy because you left the Angels to come work for the Toros.
That's correct.
And how did you ever play in the big leagues? Tell us.
No,
what
I did not. I was drafted out of high school by the Dodgers. Did not sign. Went to college at Seton Hall. Played at Seton Hall as a first round pick with the Angels. Played 5 years, got released, signed with the Dodgers in Albuquerque, got to AAA a couple of times, and just came up short.
Yeah. Well, and that's okay. You still have great life experiences.
Well, I got my first save striking out Manny Trio on Easter Sunday here in Tucson.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was 1973 was when you were hacking around with Manny Trio.
Let me tell you, so let's take a step back because there are tons of people that you know, are new to Tucson, and there's a lot of folks that are, you know, been here for a while. Uh-huh. But the Albuquerque Dukes, they're not the Dukes anymore, are they?
Isotopes.
They're the Isotopes. The Albuquerque Dukes were in the Pacific Coast League, or still are in the Pacific Coast right. League, and they would come to Tucson. They were the Dodger AAA team. And I'll tell you what, they used to fill that stadium up because, mm-hmm. I mean, when you growing up listening to baseball in Tucson, you were listening to either who was broadcasting the Toros or you were listening to Vin Scully.
I can't tell you how many times we would have a game going on at High Corbett and absolutely nothing would be going on in the field, and all of a sudden you'd hear a roar in the stands. We're all looking around. Everybody had their transistor radios. How far back we're going. They'd have their transistor radios, and they'd be listening to Scully and the Dodgers. The Dodgers basically owned Tucson, and they actually thought they owned the entire Southwest broadcasting.
At that point, they did.
Yeah, well, they were in Albuquerque, and they were in El Paso.
Who were they in with El Paso?
They were Double A. Their Double A for years was El Paso. Their Triple A was Albuquerque, and then the proximity was perfect.
Oh, and so the Rockies came in and kind of screwed that up for them.
Well, then all of a sudden,
need to hold that.
We got to take a quick break. Okay, we're at the bottom of the hour. The first hour's gone super fast, so folks, we got to take a break at the bottom of the hour,
and we're going to
be back with Jack Donovan and the Tucson Padres for some more baseball. So stick around.
I hear the cry of the hungry in the deserts where the wanderers hear the cry.
CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. Efforts by a group of six senators to work out a deal on deficit reduction have been dealt a potentially fatal blow. Oklahoma Republican Tom Coburn has pulled out of the so-called Gang of Six talks. He says the discussions between the three Democrats and three Republicans have reached an impasse.
I'm just going to give it a rest for a while and see. They all worked in good faith, every one of them. And so it's not a matter of bad faith. It's a matter of being a realist about what you can accomplish and what you can't.
The goal is to cut $4 billion over 10 years. President Obama is urging Israel and the Palestinians to return to peace talks. He says creating two states living side by side is more vital than ever. Maria Shriver's asking for privacy following the bombshell that Arnold Schwarzenegger cheated on her 10 years ago and fathered a child out of wedlock.
Former California governor just told Shriver about it recently. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Machete Grills Pablo Esparza.
My burgers are huge.
My margins, not so much. Then I got a really big tip. Join Sam's Club.
From high-quality foods to freezers, enjoy more business success for less at Sam's Club. Last year, members saved an average of 44% on office supplies alone versus retail superstores. Compare for yourself. Join during National Small Business Week, May 16th to 28th, and get 10 weeks of membership for just $10.
It's my secret recipe for savings.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guaranty, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guaranty's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because, come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
This is Lamont Hundley from Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. When it comes to your personal exercise routine, balance should be the most important ingredient. It's easy to lose track of time during a workout. Often we end up doing more strength training, then your cardio gets shortened, and there's no time to stretch. Balance is always the key to fitness success. You need an accurate portion of cardiovascular and respiratory improvement exercises, strength training, and always stretch before or after the workout. Just as a balanced diet is important in your nutrition, a balanced workout would help you achieve greater results. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff Fitness Tips.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff. And we are broadcasting live from the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. And with us right now is, we're taking a little bit of a break from baseball. But, you know, a lot of baseball players smoke these things, Michael.
Yes, they do.
And they come on down to the Tinderbox and get some great deals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is the cigar of the week?
Today we got a new cigar by Gurkha. It's called the Viper, and it's a lower price point Gurkha that they want to kind of penetrate the lower price point market. And these cigars are only priced like between $6 and $8, which is very reasonable for a Gurkha.
And the Viper is a great smoke.
Yeah, it's got a darker Dominican wrapper on it. The binder is also Dominican. The filler is Dominican and Nicaraguan. Medium cigar. They're all box pressed. I've got them in three different sizes. And you're smoking...
Well, I was smoking the XL.
The 6x60. Medium cigar. I was getting earthy cocoa. You got more of a coffee flavor out of it. It's a great little smoke.
It is a really good smoke, and I love the box press. The draw on those things are so smooth, and the cigar itself is just wonderful.
Yeah,
and
especially on the big 6x60, the smoke is really voluminous. It's
yes, it is.
And you enjoyed it, and I smoked one earlier today. It's a great little stick.
Yeah, Jeff's smoking one now. So if people want to come down and enjoy this deal,
buy three, get one free as usual. And if they want to give us a call, they can call us at 747-4807.
Or visit us
at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124.
Well, thank you, Michael. And we'll be enjoying The Viper by Gurkha. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more baseball. And very, very good to me.
Why did Temco Air Environmental win the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award?
We do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, at the price we quoted.
Check us out with the Better Business Bureau or the Registrar of Contractors.
Temco Air Environmental, for all your heating and cooling needs.
Thank you for calling Huge Conglomerate Insurance. Your call is somewhat important to us. Please hold, and we'll be with you as soon as we can.
When you get sick or injured, the first call you make is to your neighborhood doctor. Shouldn't the next call you make be to your local insurance representative? Skip the hours waiting on hold to ask a simple question about what your insurance policy will cover.
Your current wait time is 45 minutes.
Instead, call Ronstadt Insurance at 721-4848 and get the attention that you deserve. Trust local, trust Ronstadt Insurance. Pioneers in good service.
We left it on the isotopes, didn't we?
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. Welcome back. This is Fred Ronstadt with my brother Jeff,
and
we're broadcasting live from the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard.
Right.
And we're talking baseball.
Yeah, we are, and we've got Jack Donovan. Jack, what is your title currently?
I'm the senior advisor. Not the senior advisor.
Senior advisor
to the Tucson Padres.
Very nice. So you're with the Toros. When did you latch on with Toros? What year was that?
1977, I moved to town.
1977.
And I ran the team for 6 years. And then we sold it to a Canadian group who kept it here. Matter of fact, the ownership had the option at the time. There were two buyers, and one was going to move it to Edmonton. And the gentlemen, like Davis Burke and Bill Estes and the guys, they said, absolutely not. We'll take less to keep it here. So that showed some style on their part.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I went up to Phoenix for a while, and then I started buying and selling teams. We were involved with two teams, Salinas, California, and Spokane. We should still own Spokane.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. During the Toros' tenure in Tucson, they were affiliated with the Astros. They were affiliated with the Diamondbacks. They were affiliated with
Cleveland.
I don't think they were ever affiliated with Cleveland. I think originally it was the White Sox.
The White Sox was the parent team?
They were the first club.
Okay.
Then the years you remember were the Oakland A's.
Yeah, the Oakland A's.
They won
yeah.
the championship in 73.
I remember that team coming to Tucson.
Yeah, because we actually got to hang out with Raleigh Finger and Catfish Hunter.
Right.
That was sweet.
Well, they also had on that team, they had Manny
Blue.
Trio. They had Phil Garner. They had Charlie Chant in center field. They had another guy from Staten Island. Frankie Fernandez was on that team. That Glenn Abbott was their top pitcher.
Oh, yeah,
they were
Glenn
loaded.
Abbott. That was a
they
great
were
team.
Really, really a good team.
That was before the Bash Brothers, but they were
right.
a heck of a team.
They were very good. And then the Texas Rangers came in, and we had Fort Worth Fats was the owner of the Rangers.
Fort Worth Fats?
That was his nickname. And they came in, and we just nothing really clicked with them. And I had a good relationship with Bill Wood, who was the general manager farm director with the Houston Astros. When I was hired here, I had worked for the Angels as the assistant farm director. My job was player developmental contracts with the minor league teams.
Okay.
So I knew what the major league teams would do and not do. And we negotiated, and Davis helped me with it. We negotiated by far the greatest player developmental contract in the history of baseball because they wanted out of Charleston, West Virginia, which was a hole, terrible field. So we brought in the Houston Astros in 1980, and they were here for a long run.
A long time.
And then Milwaukee came in for a short period of time, and then the Diamondbacks.
So I remember, and most of our listeners probably remember the Houston Astros time.
Right.
And we remember them running through guys like Jeff Bagwell and Craig Caminiti.
Biggio.
And, yeah, Craig Biggio. All those guys played. Phil Nevin, who at that point was the number one draft in college baseball and didn't really have much of a distinguished career, but was here
right.
in Tucson. And also
well, James
someone.
James Mouton.
James Mouton, who didn't have much of a major league career, but was a great Toro. But also a guy that most people remember wearing high socks and playing in tennis shoes on the hardwood was Kenny Lofton.
Kenny Lofton.
Yeah, Kenny Lofton played Triple-A baseball right. in Tucson after his incredible basketball career at the U of A.
Right. Mike Fader will credit him for the heavy attendance they had that year. He sort of dragged in the U of A basketball fans.
But one
well, you
guy,
know, and you
one
can
guy
understand
to remember.
Why.
Oh, sure.
I mean, here's a guy that was an all Pac-10 point guard, starting center fielder, and if I remember correctly, he never played baseball at all during his tenure at the U of A.
If you ask Jerry Kendall, he was not a very good baseball player.
Well,
he would come to him every day and say, Coach, you got to put me in. You got to put me in. I got to play. And he'd say, I got three center fielders better than you right now. But he had that speed, and he developed.
He learned how to hit the ball.
But probably the most famous incident we had player-wise here was J.R. Richard, who had collapsed on the floor of the Astrodome, and they brought him here to rehab, and he pitched his first and last games after rehabbing was here in Tucson.
Yeah, did he have a stroke?
He had a stroke.
Yeah. J.R. Richards. That...
6'8". I can't tell you how big his hands were. He could wrap his hand around a basketball, and it was incredible to watch. But he had two starts here, and I always remember that certainly was a big help for us in terms of attendance. You know, we drew over 6,000 people for each one of those games.
Wow, it's 6,000 people for a minor league baseball game.
And it was midweek. I mean, that was the best part. It was midweek.
Yeah.
And but he was very gracious. He worked a lot with the younger players and, you know, talked to a lot of the guys. So it was a great experience to have him here.
Who was the highliner when you were just starting out with the Toros? Because back then it was it the A's right at the beginning?
No. It was the Texas Rangers.
So who was the big guy?
I think the guy, and I just saw a stat on him, which I didn't believe, was Danny Darwin, the right-handed pitcher, pitched 23 years in the big leagues. I would have never known. I would have never guessed that. He had 23 years in the big leagues.
And he played for the Toros.
He played for the Toros. And we had a lot of solid ball players. Billy Sample was a terrific player for us. Gary Gray was another player. Hit tons of home runs. Outstanding players, you know, and good people. Nelson Norman got up to the big leagues as a shortstop. So, yeah, we had some good players.
Now, I remember... one of the things that you said, I don't remember if you said it on the air or not, was you got your first save by striking out Manny Trio.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I was real cocky, and I didn't have any other pitch. I just had a fastball. I didn't have any breaking ball. And they said, if you pitch this guy up, he's going to hit it a mile. And I got two strikes on him, God knows how. And I said, well, let's see what this guy can do. I threw it there, and I remember coming off the mound thinking I was all everything. And we had an old catcher who'd been around a long time, Jimmy Hutto, and he walked over to me and he says, you ever throw that pitch to that guy again, he'll not only hit it out of this ballpark, he'll take your hat off while he's doing it. And he said, you don't have any idea how lucky you were that he missed that. And I said, no. That's how you learn.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. That's great.
It's good to have a veteran catcher.
Yeah. So baseball in Tucson goes back a long way.
It sure does.
Had a lot of great players come through Tucson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's something about minor league baseball in Tucson that you think are just, you know, why they go along so well, what would those be?
Well, number one, we have the weather. You know, we have now two great facilities.
Right.
And that was the thing that Bill Wood from the Houston Astros, when he came in to visit, he had never been here. And he looked at High Corbin and went, compared to what he was with in West Virginia, he looked at this and said, oh, my God, I had no idea. So we had a major league spring training facility for AAA baseball. And we've always had it.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that we have going for us. Our fans, we have, as you know, we have a turnover of people in Tucson a lot. So we have to constantly grow new fans.
Okay.
And that's one of the challenges of operating teams in Tucson. You know, you all were born here. Davis is from Philadelphia. I'm from Staten Island. You know, most people are not from here. So we the roots of the fans are not deep. It's what we always call they're sort of a shallow root. You know, when you hear when the Diamondbacks were first brought on.
Yeah.
They lived off the other teams. I mean, I remember going to the first game, the very first game they played the Dodgers. I thought I was in L.A.
Yeah.
Everybody walking up to the stadium had Dodgers stuff on.
Right.
So it's kind of what we have here. People in Des Moines, their great-grandfathers were at the Des Moines Oak games, you know, the Iowa Oaks, and And so those teams have tremendous, you know, history. Decades and decades and decades of history where families who have stayed there, live there, and they don't move.
Right.
So we have a different challenge here than a lot of teams.
And how do you guys overcome that challenge?
Well, a lot of promotions. You know, you can't always depend on a winning team. Davis, you know, we had that year in 1980, which was a great year. And we broke all sorts of attendance records. But you can't always depend on that. So in the minor leagues, look at this kid Rizzo we have now. This kid's going to be a superstar.
Well, let's talk about the Tucson Padres now.
Sure.
I mean, you know, we lost our Triple A team a couple years ago, and Jay came in and put together the Tucson Toros, but it wasn't Triple A; it was
independent. Right.
But now we have a Triple A team back.
Yeah.
And you guys are what about 20 games in so far?
Yeah, just about that, yeah.
About 20 games, and you're just having a great time out at Keno Sports Park.
You know, we really are. You know what's interesting? We have last night and tonight, we have Furcal playing shortstop for Albuquerque.
And that's Rafael Furcal.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have Orlando Hudson playing second base for us. I mean, here's two. They were all stars,
right?
They're here playing. I mean, and a lot of people don't know that this is, they love sending players here for rehab.
Well, you know, that's the I think that's the thing that AAA gets the reputation is you're either going to get a kid like Rizzo who's there fine tuning his game and is going to be there for a short period of time, or you're going to get the guys towards the end of their career who are rehabbing at the end of the day, the product on the field is outstanding.
It's an incredible product to watch. I mean, these guys can really play. Rizzo, think about this. Rizzo has 50 RBIs.
Jeez.
And it's mid-May.
It's crazy.
The only other time I can remember that, the guy who holds the record, and if he stays here the whole season, he could break it, was Mike Marshall. Had 137 RBIs, and I think he had 70 of them against us that year. Every time I turn around, he had bases loaded, double, bases loaded, home run. But this kid Rizzo, I mean, if people want to see a superstar, and think about this, he's 21, and he lost a full year to lymphoma cancer.
Wow.
And he's rehabbed himself, and he's back now, and he had two home runs last night. And the scouts are in the stands just drooling. They'll never get him. He was the key trade in the Gonzalez deal with Boston. He was the key ingredient. We have him here.
Right.
You got a chance to see a guy that you'll see 15 years from now say, I saw him in Tucson.
And that's what we say. We say we saw the Jeff Bagwells and the Craig Biggios, these guys played for, a decade or more with the Houston Astros, and we saw them as kids here in Tucson.
That's right.
So now are these guys here in Tucson that are playing, these kids that are hoping for their big shot at the majors, are they doing stuff in the community? Are they out there talking to kids? Are they?
Just one day last week, we had Rizzo walk in a 5K lymphoma walkathon. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we had three of our guys were at a school, and we had Hunter was at a hospital. So do they get involved with the community? You bet they do.
Absolutely.
And this is a great group of kids that are looking forward to it. They're so happy to be here this time of year as compared to Portland, where it was rainy, drizzly, cold, so a whole month of April and May. And now they're down here, and they're loving life.
And they're working on the golf games.
Bit of golf gets slipping in there.
Sure, 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 sure. That's great. So is there a difference between the players now, since
we're talking about the community involvement, you guys just raised a lot of money.
Yes, we did.
For the folks who were affected by the incident on January 8th.
Yes. And I have to tell you, a lot of that was part of the new Sports Authority, which a lot of people don't know. We have the new Sports and Tourism Authority that's headed up with Jim Arnold is now the executive director, but Dan Schneider's a part of it, and Tom Tracy. And together we put it together where we could have these spring training games to raise money for the victims.
Now, tell us more about that. We had two spring training games
right.
in Tucson.
We had the White Sox, and I know there's a lot of bashing with the White Sox and the Diamondbacks for pulling out. But I got to tell you, each team, when they heard that what we were going to do, they volunteered their teams, said, we'll come down. Ozzie Guillen came down a day early. He was hacked. He wanted to stay here. So Ozzie came down and he managed the team. He had some of his top players. And then we had that on a Monday and drew 7,000 people.
Wow.
Then the next game was later in March, and we played, the Dodgers came in because of the Green family being involved.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, you know, John Green is a scout for the Los Angeles Dodgers. His daughter is Dallas Green's granddaughter.
Wow.
And so the baseball community really, you know, wrapped their hands around this. And Dan Schneider made a call. 5 minutes, the Dodgers were on board, say, let's do, what do we got to do? Tell us how we do this to raise as much money as we possibly can. So the first game raised $71,000. And the second game, there we'll be giving the check at the ballpark on the, I believe, the 27th or 29th, out at the ballpark for over $100,000 to help these victims. Because they're all, you know, people just think, well, you know, they got wounded or whatever. You got families of the deceased that are having issues. You've got all sorts of things that this money's going to go
for. Well, there's medical expenses, rehab for the victim.
It's endless. I was shocked to find out how many different, how their lives were affected by this nitwit.
Yeah. And it's great that you guys have been able to do that for him.
It was a wonderful thing, and it was a collaboration of a lot of people. A lot of people got involved to make it happen, and Tom Moulton from the county headed up the marketing part of it. The radio and TV stations all got on board, and so we were able to get the word out. The sales were just incredible.
That's great. How's attendance now?
We're doing okay. You know, we're averaging a little over 3,000 a game. But we haven't burned any big promotions yet. We just had Bark in the Park and had 265 dogs out. So
Bark in the Park.
Yeah, and
everyone brought their dogs.
Yeah, it was a gas. But anyway, we haven't burned any major promotions in April and May, and our attendance is probably higher than what it would normally be, because as you know, this was a very mild April, May.
Oh, yeah.
The evenings were beautiful. I think we had three bad evenings. Unfortunately, the one bad evening we hit was the bring back, you know, roll back the clock to High Corbett.
Right. Corbett, yeah,
it was
right.
Very, very cold. But which reminded me of the old days of High Corbett in April.
You know, High Corbett gets a bad rap, but it's a great facility.
It's a great facility. You were talking about how you guys, you know, grew up out there. Both my children learned to walk up and down that ramp. The side of my office. So a lot of great stories come out of High Corbett. I mean, it's, we could be on till 9 o'clock tonight going through all that stuff.
Yeah, those are great stories. It was a great place to grow up in Tucson.
It was, but I have to tell you, it can no longer do the business that you need to do at the AAA level.
Well, you know, that's the issue. I mean, that's one, if there's anything about baseball that's changed from how it was to how it is now, it's more of a business. And it used to be in AAA, those players were so accessible. Yeah. You could walk up to a guy'd be in the batting circle, and you could talk to him, give him a hard time, he'd talk back to you. It was very personal. And it seems to me that baseball's lost a little bit of that.
Well, there's a lot more protection involved. Anytime the money gets bigger, a good example, you know, Davis, when Davis owned the team, our budget was $575,000. Right now, our dues alone to the Pacific Coast League and what we have to pay for the umpires and our ticket tax and everything else is $270,000. I think we were $15,000 was our total dues to the league.
Wow.
And so, you
know,
that's
before you start talking salaries or open the gates or anything else.
Yeah. And so now our budget is $2.2 million.
Yeah. And you're not paying baseball players salaries.
No,
either.
We don't pay the salaries, but we pay all the travel and there's so much now gets involved. You know, your dad, you know, the lease over there was $4,000 for the year.
At High Corbett?
At High Corbett.
Wow.
And I used to beg, you will not have to go in that meeting with him. I felt a little bit of that ire you were talking about. And I would beg Bill Estes, Bill, let's just, I'm sorry, it was 8,000, not 4,000. It was 8,000. I said, Bill, let's just double it to 16. They'll be overjoyed. I said, we can handle it. Nah, I don't think so. So I'd have to go in and face your dad. There was some very tough meetings.
Oh, man.
Very tough ones.
That's funny. So High Corbett and Keno, the facility. It's beautiful.
It's a great facility. I got to tell you, most people don't know. We give tours to school kids and whatever. When the Padres came in, they had only been here really as visiting players and coaches and whatever. And when they took a tour and they saw the Major League locker room, we have batting cages downstairs, indoor batting cages downstairs. We have a full locker room of training area and weight room as well.
And that's not new. That's been there.
It's 12 years old. It's 13, yeah. Maybe 13 years old. But then you have two 40,000-square-foot clubhouses. And that's what we're trying to sell the Japanese on, to bring in Japanese Major League Japanese.
Now, tell us about that.
It's been a two-year project for me, and we've worked very hard on it. We have one team committed. We need to have two.
Can you say what team you've got?
A team. Oryx has indicated that if we can find the second team, the biggest hurdle we had is that the Players Association would not sign off on it.
The Japanese Players?
No, the American Players Association. They have to okay any international play. So what's happened now is that Gene Orza has retired, thank God.
Who is Gene Orza?
He was the head. He was one of the head guys of the association, okay. And everything had to be his show, his thing. Anyway, he's gone, and we're thinking now we're going to get that letter, especially with the second team that looked like it was close was Sendai, which is where the tsunami hit.
Wow.
And so we don't know if that's going to help us in terms where they need a place to train. But if we get two teams, Major League Baseball has said that they will include us back in the Cactus League again.
So you'll have two Japanese teams playing in the Cactus League in spring training?
That's our goal.
Wow, wouldn't they do that?
Well, their spring training sites are not very good. They do most of their training in Okinawa. And then they go back to Japan and they wander around and play games. But they all get a chance to play the Yomiuri Giants in Tokyo, and that's 55,000 people. So that's a big payday.
And the Giants are the New York Yankees.
They are bigger than the New York Yankees would be over there.
Wow.
They rule the roost. But there's a lot of legs to this, and we think once we get it going, the tourism factor for this city, it could be enormous for it.
Well, I remember Ichiro, the first time Ichiro Suzuki came to Tucson when he just signed a contract with the Seattle Mariners.
Right.
Just the Japanese press was out of control.
The Yomiuri Giants came here and toured the facility, and they thought the facility was fantastic. It had everything they wanted, and we have an enormous press box. And they looked at the press box and said, way too small.
No kidding.
Yeah, that they would have to take over all the booths, and then all the seats upstairs, that they would need all of that to handle all the press.
Wow.
That's how just the press alone would be worth millions of dollars in economic impact to this community. Just the press that would come along.
Would you say that baseball in Japan is bigger than it is here in the United States?
Well, I wouldn't say bigger. It may be more important to them. If you go to a game in Japan, you just can't believe it. I mean, they have cheering sections for the visiting team and the home team, and they very courteously stop when the other team is up, and then they start waving flags, and they have a cheerleader, and he's cheering them all on with all these songs. It's a show and a half.
Wow, 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 wow. That's awesome. Well, good luck.
Thank you. It's been a challenge, but we're going to make it work. My partner, Leon Lee, is a god over there. He was a great player, and he's working with me on it, and I think we're going to get it done.
Well,
so what are some of the big promotions that we can look forward to this summer?
Well, we've got a jersey night, we've got cap night, and we have, you know, they're all new things. So
they're all collector's items at this point.
At this point, they are collector's items. And by the way, the Escondido thing is falling apart by the minute.
Okay, we have no time left, but Escondido is where the Padres are hoping that new AAA ball club, the stadium, is going to be built. And if that doesn't happen, the chance of us keeping the Padres here in Tucson grows exponentially larger.
You're absolutely right. And that vote has been canceled indefinitely.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful for us. Jack Donovan, Tucson Padres, Tucson Toros, thanks a bunch for coming on the show.
Thanks for having
me. Davis Burke, Pioneer baseball owner in Tucson, thanks again for being on our show. Folks, thanks for listening to the Fred and Jeff Show. We will see you next week. Have a great week.
KJLL. CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Barge company operators on the Mississippi River say now that it's open again at Natchez, Mississippi.
I've got one boat and 20 barges there waiting to come down. It's been waiting since 7 o'clock last night. So that would be